It is Saturday, February 23rd, 2008, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. Today on Geek Speak, a bit about the week in geek news and your questions and comments of technology. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com. For the last time, I'm going to ask you what you think about our new song. You're welcome to go to geekspeak.org and tell us what you think about D Surf NA by Ibu Gogo. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Thank you very much, Timothy Jordan, for filling in for me last week. Please keep in mind the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. Yes, I've been sick for a week and a little bit more, and I'm finally back on top, which is wonderful. During the second half of the show, I welcome you to join our conversation. You can ask us anything you'd like. The numbers are 476-2800, toll free at 1-800-655-5877. You can go there right now to geekspeak.org to send us email. And while you're there, tell us what you think of our sparkly new theme song. This is the last week I'll be asking for your opinion. You can also do one more exciting thing at geekspeak.org. During the show, I'll invite you to name this episode. That's right. Every week we come up with a name for the episode, and we try to make it something that's short. And if you heard the episode and then you saw the name, you'd know that that was the episode you heard. So that's the criteria. Go to geekspeak.org and send us information. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Ryder Brooks, support engineer at Sun Microsystems. Good morning, Ryder.
Good morning.
We have Ben Jaffe, a student up at UCSC. Morning, Ben.
Morning.
And we have Miles Elam, slacker and stud. Hi.
Good morning, Lyle.
How's it going, geeks?
Pretty good.
I'm going to start the geek news out today. So, a relative new site featuring the goings-on of Santa Cruz called SantaCruzLive.com. It's been running for a while. It talks about music and art and culture and such. And right now, it's featuring my wife, Daria Troxell. Wallace Bain, the host of Santa Cruz Live, has started a new series called The Creatives. And this first in the series focuses around Daria Troxell's process as an artist and will also be published in tomorrow's Santa Cruz Sentinel. My wife, Daria, is in Dead Man Walking, which plays tonight and closes tomorrow. So if you haven't seen it, go see it. She is fantastic as Sister Prigent, a woman coming to terms with the horrible acts of a death row inmate and the flaws in our criminal justice system. It's quite a good play. Miles, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it was excellent.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you said that, or I would have had to take your mic off. You can learn more about the show, Dead Man Walking, at Cabrillo College. Just go to geekspeak.org and get all the links from there. And, oh, yeah, let me make that site, the page live right now. All right, so now that I've done a little bit of a, what is it called when you promote your own family?
A plug. Shameless plug.
It's
nepotism.
Nepotism. Thank you, nepotism. Speaking of nepotism, last week, Timothy Jordan came on Geek Speak to host while I was ill, and I really appreciate him. He has a show on UCSC's website, radio station, has been doing it for years, called the Timothy Jordan Show. You can find it at timothyjordan.com. Or TimothyJordanShow.com, I think it is. In any case, he's been doing it for years. And years ago, when Miles and Sean and I were invited to fill in for KOSP's Geek Speak show from people that were going to be letting go of it, this was 8 years ago now, my father, who was running the station, just asked me to fill in, and he'd asked around for other people to participate by submitting proposals. And Timothy Jordan actually submitted a proposal. But because of nepotism, that's how I'm tying it back around, I actually got the show. So I apologize again to Timothy, and I thank him very much for filling in for me, and maybe that will become a regular thing as I take time off from Geek Speak. And speaking of taking time off from Geek Speak, Sean Cleveland will not be joining us for quite a while. He's decided to, God, he thinks his family's important or something. In any case, we'll miss Sean quite a bit. But the geeks that are here, thanks for being here, and we'll do some news. Miles.
The recording industry association Association of America, commonly known as the RIAA, have really outdone themselves this time.
Oh, yes.
Now, those who listen to this show, I'm sure, have heard me rant and rave on the RIAA and the MPAA. In this case, a leaked training video produced with the National District Attorneys Association is a 60-minute long video telling U.S. prosecutors that they should bust music pirates because it'll lead them to everything from handguns to large quantities of cocaine and marijuana. So all of you music pirates out there, you're sharing, you know, the latest Smash Mouth song, something like that, you're opening yourself up to crack addiction. Just to warn you.
So when you buy a CD, you also ask for, like, what else you need in the black market?
Right. This is actually a direct quote from that video. When you buy a CD, would you like it with or without? The with is enclosing a piece of crack or whatever the case may be. you can't make this stuff up.
This wasn't supposed to be a public thing, was it?
No, it was leaked.
No, it was
probably by some person going, oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is the reefer madness of today.
But this is a training video for how to talk to, like, officials?
No, this is a training video for U.S. prosecutors so that they're educated about the dangers of peer-to-peer and all the advantages of going after peer-to-peer software pirates. That they'll, once they go after the software pirates, or I'm sorry, the music pirates, they will end up with other things, like when you go there and you go to raid the house,
right?
Because of the extreme danger for music pirates, you'll also find handguns and all sorts of drugs, huge drug operations.
That, like, the concept of going down on the street and buying CDs out of the back of a van—that's not even what they're trying to fight for. Because that's been going, that's happened. You could do that for years,
and no one does it because
it's stupid
to have
CDs. We all do peer-to-peer stuff, right?
Exactly.
So how? Let me ask. Through, like, BitTorrent, some other peer-to-peer network, how do you sell drugs that way? I mean, is this something I'm missing? Is there, like, a drug port out of the back of the computer you can spit out heroin or something? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's much like the Reefer Madness video from
the 1950s or so.
The internet's a series of tubes.
Oh, that's true. Hey, there's a drug tube.
It's not a dump truck, so it can't.
No, only a little at a time.
You know,
if you're
addicted to a substance, you don't really want a truckload of it. You want a tube. You want a small drip, you know?
Or a large.
So watch out next time you fire up that copy of LimeWire.
Oh, man, that's just ridiculous. All right, well, thank you very much, Miles, for that fun from the RIAA. Is that right?
RIAA.
Recording. What is it called?
Recording Industry Association of America.
Cool. I'm still sick, so we'll put that up on the GeekSpeak site. As is with all the news, we'll go up there. And Ben, hi.
Hi. So there's this new technology out. Actually, it's not out yet. It's still in development, but it's self-healing rubber. And I'm sure you can imagine there are a lot of great uses for this. Like in the article, they give a couple examples: self-healing shoes, or fan belts, or gloves, etc. And the way they do it is there are three types of bonds that give rubber its strength. There's hydrogen bonds, and there is covalent bonding and ionic bonding. And what they do is, because hydrogen bonds are the only ones that can be recreated after they're broken, they just got rid of the other two types of bondings. And though the material is a little weaker than rubber currently, you can just take it and hold it up to itself, like, and it'll self-heal itself entirely.
Aren't you talking about Silly Putty? I'm sorry.
Well,
isn't this some pretty
similar
to Silly Putty?
Yes, yes, but you can't use Silly Putty in shoes, Lyle.
Have you ever seen, what is it, Flubber? Of course you can. All right, so this rubber actually holds some kind of structure. So you can make a shoe out of it.
Absolutely.
And then you could rip it and then just push it back together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Good stuff.
I like it.
Yeah.
Doesn't in a vacuum, don't most metals do that as well? Auto weld, because there's no molecules to separate the two materials, and so they can recombine. The problem in our atmosphere, of course, is that there's so much other molecules that will bond to it, will oxidize the metal, that it will seal up the hole. So you're talking about basically like a non-oxidizing rubber, if you will.
Yeah.
Which seems strange to me. Okay, that's pretty cool stuff.
Years ago,
in 2005 or so, we did a prediction of like the new cool upcoming stuff, and I made this really ridiculous comment about how the coolest stuff we're going to see, the coolest tech, is new materials. I still hold by that. I just still don't know how to say it correctly because new materials are really cool. See, I can't say it.
I thought you just said it.
Thank you.
New materials are really cool.
Moving on, Ryder. Hi.
Hi. interesting eBay sale yesterday. A record collection of albums. What we had.
Oh, I think you're going to talk about the Transformers that sold last week. Oh, okay.
No. This is the second highest ever recorded bid on eBay. Went for just over $3 million. $3,002,000.
What was it? What did you sell?
Basically, the world's largest record collection.
As in albums?
Albums, yeah, records. 3 million albums, over 300 CDs, 300,000 CDs, totaling 6 million song titles.
See, for how much when you buy $3 million.
For $3 million, it was estimated.
So if you paid more than a dollar per album, you lost money.
Well, of course they lost money.
Yeah, it was estimated to be over, you know, a $5 million if you were to buy it all on iTunes individually, and some are estimating it worth $50 million.
So and when you buy a collection like that, do you have to move to the collection? Because you can't ship that. Shipping that would cost more.
Probably. I mean, this is all like in a warehouse stored. Mm-hmm. A publisher by the name of, I'm going to mingle his name, Paul Mawinney. He's a publisher. He's been collecting this for 50-odd years.
Wow.
And his apparently his wife said enough.
And made $3 million.
Yeah.
That's retirement.
Yeah. There were only 7 bids.
Wow.
The minimum reserve was $3 million, and you know he was probably hoping to get a lot more. But.
Well, yeah, but who has that kind of cash to buy music?
Record industries.
So are they going to find things that have never... The publisher rights have lost, and now it's going to be a new piece of material that will...
I don't know. I mean, this is... If you go to the eBay site, they're actually buying more than just records. They're buying some independent record companies. They're buying a patented vinyl record cleaning system.
Interesting.
Called Spin Clean.
Will you please put that up on the GeekSpeak site?
Of course I will.
Thank you very much, Ryder, for that. I'm going to go on. You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. Ryder Brooks, Ben Jaffe, and Miles Elam are all joining me. We're covering some geek news. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to invite you to participate by asking us questions. Miles, your next news story.
A story that hasn't been covered all that often in the mainstream media, but has been a huge story in the blogosphere for the last 3-4 months or so.
Okay, do you like the term blogosphere?
I think it works.
All right.
Is a hacking group known as Anonymous taking on the religion/cult, however you might feel about it, of Scientology. And most people who have looked into Scientology, who are not members of Scientology, would know it as being an extremely aggressive group that has gone after critics with a vengeance. And there are quite a few people who are hesitant to take them on in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Anonymous decided they were going to fight back. They've posted YouTube clips. And now, because of the big controversy and because of their notoriety, a huge number of people on the net have joined the cause, so to say, have associated themselves with Anonymous and are showing up for demonstrations and the like, picketing in front of buildings that house Church of Scientology. And
Miles, why are you covering this in GeekSpeak News?
Because this is something that, one, isn't being covered outside, and I believe it is a significant story, but it's also something that is very much part of the geek culture. This is something that's only found on the web, only found
within the Anonymous idea?
Only found within that culture of, for example, YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it was originally from a group where Scientology was going after the group, trying to shut down...
Why were they going after the group?
Because they were making fun of Scientology, basically. And so, in turn, Anonymous went back and started hacking Scientology sites, at which point Scientology started fighting back, and Anonymous just started...
Anonymous is actually organizing... organizing groups to go out and picket.
Yes, exactly.
And what are they?
Or it may not even be anonymous. It may even be just people who have associated themselves with it.
Right.
You know, it's the hacking version of Al Qaeda. It's not necessarily the core group of Al Qaeda. It's some other cells that associate themselves with it.
You know what? associating Al Qaeda with this Anonymous group, not so cool, man. thank you very much, Miles, for the news story. How are they dressing?
In one particular case, all of them were dressed while they're holding up their picket signs, and they're like, they were all wearing Guy Fawkes masks, similar to popularized.
This is in the U.S., though, right?
Right. But this is popularized by the movie V for Vendetta and also Guy Fawkes Day in the U.K.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Elam. Who's next, Ben?
Sure.
Okay.
So in Michigan, they have built this laser beam, which is a new record for intensity. And so basically—
Is it really intense, man?
It's intense. They actually, they've been quoted as saying, quote, "I don't know of another place in the universe that would have this intensity of light. We believe this is a record." So I don't know. I mean, they're
so
pretty much claiming
specifically
that
they built a device that creates a laser beam, which we call a laser.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And how intense is it?
Well, okay, so the intensity, it's 300 terawatts of power. And basically, the intensity of it, if you were to create another laser of the same intensity that basically took all of the light from the sun that's hitting the Earth and concentrated it down to a speck of sand, that would be the same intensity of this laser.
How long can they keep it running?
30 femtoseconds. And a femtosecond is... So 30 million billionths of a second.
Femtosecond.
Femtosecond,
that's
yes.
Right. So and 30 million billionths of a second.
Yes.
They're able to produce how much power?
300 terawatts of power all in a 1.3 micron spec.
I would say...
And 1.3 microns is about a hundredth of the diameter of a human hair.
That is really intense.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do with? I mean, what do they do with it?
I told you it was intense. Wow,
you're right. You did. You know what, Ben? You came through. That was really intense.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
What do they do with this besides vaporize things?
Well, I don't think anything yet. Okay. They pretty much just brought it online.
Fire.
But yeah, creating fire.
I have this image of Beavis and Butthead now. It's like 30 femtoseconds. Fire.
Thank you, Miles. So glad I'm back. Very cool. Thank you, Ben.
Medical uses and also potentially boiling a vacuum.
Yeah. What does this make any sense? Boiling
well,
a vacuum.
Well, scientists theorize that boiling a vacuum would generate matter by merely focusing light into empty space.
So what you're talking about is, well, we won't
something
get into
that.
Out
of it
nothing. Has to do with quantum mechanics, though.
Yes, yes, it does.
All right.
So that's fun.
Well, that's cool. Thank you very much. That's in Michigan?
Oh,
what's
and
cool?
It can fire every 10 seconds.
Every 10 seconds it can get that much power?
Every 10 seconds. And similar – okay, so also
– what are they charging this with?
They've got this whole power
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But – also, this
intense power thing.
This is two orders of magnitude more powerful than other lasers. Oh. So,
thank you very much.
It's intense.
Man. It's intense.
It's intense.
Ryder, hi.
Hi. So I came across this little gem. Leonardo Fioravanti, who is a designer for the Ferrari. He has got a little company called Fioravanti, and they've developed a car prototype that basically uses a windshield that has no wipers, and it uses...
How do they do it? Laser beams?
No. Electricity and lots of chemicals and doodads. It's basically nanotechnology, technology with four layers of glass. The outer layer of glass is based on titanium dioxide, which has a hydrophobic effect for repelling water and filtering the sun. Second layer beneath that, so that's the first layer that is exposed to the outside. The next layer is what they call nano dust, isn't some sort of nanoparticle that basically wipes away dirt.
And that's below?
Below. It must be very thin layer, I guess. I don't know. and the third layer...
It probably agitates the top glass to knock off things. Go on.
Third layer is basically a substrate for as a trigger for detecting when there's dirt and to activate that second layer.
Uh-huh.
And then the fourth layer is basically an electrical conductor that powers the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So basically it's a car that just anything that hits the windshield just gets removed.
Yeah.
Without mechanical means, just with new materials.
High-tech Rain-X, basically.
Oh, really?
And it's basically in a car called, it's either the Hydra or the Hydra. I'm not sure how they're pronouncing
the,
that. H-I-D-R-A.
And I'm assuming it's going to be pretty expensive.
Probably. It's a prototype, so.
Yeah, prototype. Prototype means money.
Yeah.
Intense money. Thank you very much, Ryder. Mr. Elam, one more story for us?
Sure.
Well, you know what? Let's promote the whole funny things that we were doing before the show.
The funny things.
All right, let's do, like, funny dogs.
You mean, like, dogfail.com?
Yeah. Okay, so, first off, the links we're about to talk about are all up on geekspeak.org.
And they're completely silly.
They're silly. So just go up to geekspeak.org and click on today's show, which is February 23rd, 2008, and there's four great little links. One's a Flash cartoon I won't even get into, but Keith sent it in. I think it's really hilarious. And then the next one is what I'm labeling funny dogs. What is this?
It's called fail dogs with the common online vernacular of fail, you know, something going wrong, you try to do something and it doesn't turn
Miles,
out right.
Miles, I know what failure is.
Well, not all of our audience understands the term online.
If they've listened
fail.
To Geekspeak long enough, they know what failure is.
No, it's not failure. It's fail.
Oh, fail. Okay.
Yeah, there's
so it's a collection of photos, a photo a day of dogs that fail.
Yes.
And they're hilarious.
But
they're not for radio, recommend. They're for internet because you can't describe them.
Right.
What about in space? What's cool in space, Ryder? You picked up an image.
Hubble telescope picked up an image of the Eye of Sauron.
Oh, scary stuff. Yeah. Got to see that. And then we also have seven very lazy wizards.
Yes.
Diatribe about...
The seven most powerful wizards that are also too lazy to use their powers. You know, including such notables as, of course, Albus Dumbledore. And you wonder, like, wow, but he's really powerful and he does stuff. Yeah, but he also sits back while, you know... Harry and Ron almost get eaten by a bunch of marauding spiders and things like that. To, you know, other notables like Skeletor.
Skeletor's a wizard. Oh, yeah, I guess he is. Okay.
Yeah, and Gargamel.
Ah, the Smurf nemesis, Gargamel, of course.
Yes. And, of course, Gandalf.
Gandalf the Grey or Gandalf
the
White? Yeah,
Gandalf, who will make an impenetrable bubble to fight off a Balrog in one moment and then go hand-to-hand with the staff against orcs the next.
Gotcha.
I wouldn't call that laziness, though, necessarily.
How much sense does that make that he's taking on a Balrog, taking on something like that, that we're running away from the Balrog? Like, as soon as the Balrog was showing up, all the orcs were leaving, going, we got to get away. And yet he's the one that's taking him on and beat it. But the orcs are like, oh, look, let's take him on one by one. No big deal.
Yeah, okay, I see it. I agree with Ben. I don't know if it's laziness. It's the way the magic powers work, man. All right. So for some fun stuff, go to geekspeak.org. And while you're there, help us name the show. So every week, maybe we're clear, every week we have to come up with some crazy name idea for the episode. And they are kind of silly, and sometimes they're great. This week's episode right now is called Name This Episode. So as you can see, we actually want your help. So if you're listening live... to the show, and you happen to be near a computer, send us an email during the show or right after the show with your ideas for the name. We'll grab it. We'll put it up on the site. And it needs to be something that if you've listened to the show, later you'll remember that you've listened to it by seeing the name of the title. That's the goal, at least. And, of course, you can also vote this last week for the theme song that we've been airing for, I don't know, about a month. And the theme song by Ibu Gogo called D-Surf N.A., which... a lot of people have called in or emailed in and said they like it, and then we're going to be switching to it. And if you want your one last opinion to count, go ahead and go to geekspeak.org and vote on it. All right. Geekspeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley, offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, Notary Public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. You're listening to Geekspeak. We're now taking your calls with questions and comments of technology. The numbers are 476-2800. That's 476-2800. Or you can call us toll-free anywhere in the United States. That's 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-KUSP. Of course, you can use the internet. Go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. This is Central Coast Public Radio KUSP. You're listening to Geekspeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. The geeks this morning are Miles Elam, Ryder Brooks, and Ben Jaffe. Please join our conversation. The phone numbers I'll give out just one more time in just a minute. And you can call us with questions and comments of technology. Stay with KUSP for Castle Cod this morning at 11 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio KUSP. GeekSpeak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry, using digital technology for less radiation, and offering one appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. It's actually also RamirezDDS.com, too. They, you know, that's just something I know. Rick Philman standing by, awaiting your calls with questions and comments to technology. You can ask us anything you'd like. You'd be surprised how little we know. Just give us a call and give it a try. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Did I say how little? Oh, how sad. 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 1-800-655-KUSP. Miles, you do have another true news story, and I will let you do it now while we wait for calls.
Such as an electron being caught on film for the first time? Speaking of lasers, going back to the whole laser theme, instead of being, for example, this very powerful laser at 30 femtoseconds, was it? Yes, thank you. This one is 150 attoseconds.
Okay, what's an attosecond?
That's a fine question. But it's...
Well, how do you spell it?
A-T-T-O.
10 to the negative 18th.
You know what? Small numbers. That's a good name for this episode.
Very.
Small, intense small numbers.
Intense okay. Small numbers.
Intense small numbers. I'll name it right.
One femtosecond is equal to 1,000 attoseconds.
So okay, my laser was 30,000.
So this this is even smaller.
Right. So this is, say, 1/300th the duration of your very powerful laser, Ben.
Ben, what did I just call it? Intense small measurements?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. Email someone, us with the name of the show.
Someone call in who remembers. There's a better
Miles,
memory than Lyle and
what
I.
What is this small thing? Please tell us.
What is a small thing? An electron. An electron is a negatively charged particle as part of an atom.
Why is it special? Because we did
it's special because we actually were able to take a photo of it. Normally, electrons are
predictive
sort
paths,
of.
Right?
They're moving very fast. They're kind of, you refer to them as an electron cloud, but they're a particle that's moving around very fast.
It's one way to interpret it.
And so in order to catch an electron in the act, so to speak, you have to have a very short shutter speed.
You also have to bounce something off of it, like photons, which is actually kind of hard to do.
Right.
So they bounced photons off of it with a small shutter speed, and they got a photograph of the electron?
Yes.
That's cool. That's really cool. That's really small, too. That's very cool.
Yeah.
What was this electron doing? Was it orbiting something?
Well, was it orbiting the nucleus of an atom?
I mean, I'm specifically, I meant what kind of atom did it? Does it matter
kind of
that it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, interesting.
If you're taking an electron, because it's so much smaller than any atom, I don't know that it would make much of a difference between a hydrogen atom or a carbon atom or...
The only thing I'm curious about is that was it a metal? Because metal means that the electron is it more in a floating state across the entire metal. But in any case...
Do I look like a physicist to you?
No, you don't, Miles.
Do
you
I
don't
look
sound
like a
either.
Physicist to you?
None of us do.
So we have a couple of emails that we
can
answer.
Go ahead. Like,
what do we have here? Ralph Davila from Aptos. He sent an email asking for some recommendations on a good DVD burner. So he's not interested in any high-definition DVDs. So he's kind of, and also kind of what the best software to go with it.
And he specifically says that he doesn't like Nero. Or
well, he said he's heard bad things about Nero. But he's primarily the hardware. You know, I would say go with a DVD burner that has a light scribe capability.
Yeah.
It's optional. You have to have special media for it, but you can burn on the opposite side of your DVD a picture or text or
basically
whatever you
light
like.
Light scribe, you buy the special disc, and after you've burned your CD, you flip it over, and you can burn
yeah,
make a picture
on it. Yeah, they're more expensive, but they're not that more.
No, the burners aren't expensive really at
the
all.
Media's
the
media's
a little bit more.
No, I mean, the media is a little bit more, but it's not that bad.
It's worth the feature, I would think. Other things, you probably want a high internal cache. There's a little chip that has internalized memory, 16 megs, 32 megs is usually a good target.
But, you know, you're not going to spend more than $50 on a DVD burner at this time.
Well, it depends if you go internal or external. They're all pretty much high speed.
Well, what about that? Would you go with an internal or external?
Now that I'm kind of Mac-oriented, more external.
You'd like external.
You know, I'm seeing advantages to portability, but that adds cost because you're typically going to want, you know, FireWire interface.
It also adds wires and stuff to your desktop. If you got a PC, which I'm assuming he does since he's talking about Nero, you're going to probably do an internal DVD. You're probably going to replace the one you have.
Other
thing you want to check is that pretty much all computers right now that are on the market have, for their optical, they've got ATA or parallel ATA.
They go SATA now, too.
But you can buy SATA drives, so you're going to want to be careful about that. Most likely, the optical that you have right now is parallel ATA, which we used to call IDE, but they're all IDE. And if you buy a serial one, then you could potentially add it to your board, but it might be a little more complicated. It's not going to replace what you had, and it depends on how new your board is. But the thing I would go with is a brand name. I know that seems kind of a silly thing, but there's a lot of DVD players out there that are by low known manufacturers, and I would go ahead and buy a higher known manufacturer for it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Oh, there's another. Yeah.
Another news story. Well, let's take some phone calls, and if we can fit them in, we shall. Who shall we call? Who should we take first? Somebody's been up on the feed here.
Yeah, someone needs to restart our router.
Oh, are we losing network?
Yep.
No.
Oh, we fail.
Let's take it cold. It'll be so much fun.
Yeah.
You're on Geek Speak. This is Lyle Trox. Are you on air?
Hi.
What's your name?
Karin.
Karin, where are you calling from?
Santa Cruz.
All right, Karin. What's your question today?
My husband and I travel periodically and want to access some accounts that we have on the internet and also our email. And I want to know how secure that kind of thing would be if we just use cell phones versus purchasing a laptop and still being concerned about security.
You mean accessing the internet through your cell phone carrier?
Yeah.
I'm not real familiar with the different service plans, but I can say that it's not going to be as fast as DSL, and it's not going to probably be as cheap. So
it
adds a level of complexity. Do you have a normal phone service right now?
Yeah.
And do you have cable service?
Cable we have television. DSL.
What's that?
No, we don't have cable.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So there's nothing. I don't think there's anything specifically more secure about a wireless or providing network through a cell phone. The only thing I would say is that because it's your cell phone, you'd probably be offline more, and the safest you can be is not to be online at all. So it's safer in that regard, but I wouldn't recommend it as a security reason in any way. I'd stick with DSL when you're with dealing with that. Any geeks got any other recommendations on cell phones and using that as your primary internet source? No. do you have a laptop and do you go to like cafes and stuff?
No, we don't own a laptop. Yeah. We wouldn't use it very often, and it just seemed like it would be a lot easier to just use our cell phone and, you know, a much smaller thing to carry around, clearly.
Right.
And I just was concerned that if we wanted to access some of our accounts on the internet via a cell phone compared to a laptop that we would have to purchase, I was wondering if one was more secure than the other.
No, I wouldn't say it's more secure. I mean, the cell phone's going to be more secure because it's going to be more obscure and you're not going to get viruses on it, for example. So there is that aspect of it. It really depends on how much we want to be doing on your phone. And then the service plan is going to be quite expensive for internet, like, you know, $20 more a month at least for internet access that would be unlimited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then it's just that I've been trying to read up on using laptops when you're traveling, and it sounds like you have to do quite a bit to keep from getting hacked into.
Yeah, you do have to be relatively safe. You could buy a Mac, of course, and not have to really worry about it nearly as much. That's one option for your laptop. The other thing you'd have to do is, you have to keep your firewall up to date. You have to get an antivirus protection software, and you'd also have to get I wouldn't even use the firewall that comes with Windows. So there's a few steps you've got to do. I agree that it's a little more difficult. But one way to do it, if you're dealing with wanting it to be easy for you and you're about to buy something, one would be to use a Mac or to buy a PC and install Ubuntu Linux on it. That's another option. And if you want to just go run-of-the-mill Windows, when you buy it from a major vendor, they're going to come with a whole bunch of pre-installed virus safety, security stuff, right? And just buy all those things and go ahead and use them. It's going to be a premium on top of your cost, but presumably you'll be getting Norton, which is a good antivirus, or something like a Symantec of some kind. So there's going to be a pre-installed, you have to purchase package, and you just go with all those packages, and then you're relatively safe. The thing that people get in trouble with is they run for a long time without any protection. Then they start getting pop-ups saying, hey, we can protect you. They're already actually infected. And then they start buying these bad products. So the ones that come on your system, I'd go with that. Does that help you?
Yeah, it does. I got to tell you, I'm leaning towards just using the cell phone so that we don't have to lug a laptop around.
Yeah, what cell phone are you planning on getting? Do you have one that has wireless?
It
has internet access?
Well, there's an LG model that you actually lift it up, and there's a little keyboard in there that's probably twice as big as a BlackBerry.
Keep in mind that the browsers that come in phones aren't nearly as robust as the browser that comes on a laptop. I've yet to find one that actually really functions as a browser. The closest one I've seen is the Apple iPhone, which is the phone I use, but they don't have any Flash plugin. You can't. There's a lot of stuff you can't do on it. So it's not going to be a laptop replacement, but if it's only for travel and only for email and, you know, searches to for maps or something, you might be okay.
Yeah, it's going to be just, yeah, it's not going to be used very much at all.
Yeah. Karen,
I was worried about security.
You will have less security problems if you're using your phone only. Definitely.
Thanks very much.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, let's go ahead and go to Scott in Southern California. Scott, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Norwalk.
Oh, Norwalk. Where is Norwalk specifically?
It's about 15 or 20 miles kind of southeast of Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Pretty down south. Is it nice and sunny down there?
Yeah, it is right now.
Oh, good. Well, what's the problem today?
Oh, well, I've called you guys before and you've helped me out, so I'm hoping you can do the same now. I went away on vacation. I shut down my computer, and I unplugged the DSL line and all that good stuff. Came on, fired it all back up, and turned on the DSL, and it will not come on. I get a red light at the power light, and it's on for a few seconds, then it flashes green, then it flashes red about three times.
And you have unplugged the power of this DSL modem and left the power unplugged for a while?
Well, it was turned off at the power, you know, at the surge protector.
The surge protector is turned off, okay.
Yeah.
And so when you came back on, turn it back on. It's not doesn't seem to be connecting any making a connection to the DSL.
Yeah, there's nothing lighting up with the power light, and
is your phone working?
Yeah,
I asked jokingly because of course you're calling us. Well, Miles, got any ideas on this? You've lost DSL a lot in your lifetime. What was that for?
That was usually because the phone company turned it off. So
why would they turn off your? I don't understand. Why would they turn it off?
I don't know if there's a broken connection for a long time. Who knows? Maybe they're whimsy.
Have you called them?
Have I called them?
Yeah, have you called your DSL provider?
No, I haven't.
I definitely do it, because one thing that DSL providers can do, and it's this magic thing they do. I was harassing Miles because he's lost DSL a couple times in his life for lack of paying phone bills, but that's when he was a bachelor. That doesn't happen anymore. So the DSL modems, I don't know exactly what happens. I would say that the technical term is they get kind of screwy, and you contact the service provider and you say, hey, my DSL's not working. They go, really? Well, do this. And you say, yeah. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I already did all these things, but I'm saying yes to you. I'm trying them again. And at the end of that, they're like, well, let me check your connection. And they do some funky thing on their keyboard, and it takes about four minutes.
Here it is. Click.
Take about 4 minutes, and then all of a sudden your DSL starts working. They're like, I don't know what the problem is. I can't figure it out. It seems to all be working. And you go, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
And that's always happened.
Is that how it works for you guys? Yeah, all of us are shaking our heads. Yeah. So you got to call them and ask them to do their magic thing. Don't tell them I need you to ping it or fix it, because they won't know what you're talking about. But when they do their check, it makes your modem work again. So
you're guaranteed. Pretty sure that's going to be it.
I'm not guaranteeing that. It does definitely sound like you have a line sync issue from the errors that you're getting from the modem. It definitely sounds like you have a line sync issue, and that's has to be addressed by your provider. It's nothing on your end.
There's one more other thing you can do if you really want to get before making this phone call and sitting on hold for a long time, which no one likes to do. You could remove your house from the circuit completely and plug your modem directly into the line that comes from them. Outside of your house in the phone box, and if you live in an apartment complex, it's a little harder to do this, but there's a point where your phone line comes into your house, and there's a little plug, and if you open up the panel that you're supposed to be able to open up, and you can unplug your entire house from the connection, and when you do that, you can use that connection as the connection into your modem and run it. Now, you have to take the whole thing outside or use an extension cable or something, but that is one way to remove your house, and the reason for that is sometimes other noise in your home can be a problem. But I think it would be the best thing to be call them first.
Well, down here below on the toolbar, it has, like a network thing, two computers.
Yeah. Is it C?
And there's an X across it. When I put the mouse on it, it says, let me do it again here. It says a local area connection. Network cable is unplugged, but I've plugged everything in and out. Tried the Ethernet and I tried the USB, and neither one of them, it doesn't even act like it's checking for them. So make the phone call.
Make the phone call.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, let's see. Who do we have? We've got Barb. Barb from Santa Cruz? Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Barb.
Hi. I have a Mac G5.
Okay.
And I don't have anything backed up, but I was wondering what you recommend for an external hard drive.
Well, Ben knows a lot about external hard drives, so I will. And he knows a lot about Macintoshes. So got a G5, wants to back everything up. What do you recommend buying?
I don't have any particular recommendations. I do funky things with them. I take them apart. I don't know. I've heard bad things about I've heard bad things about them, so maybe
Bad things about everybody.
But yeah, that's true. It's true. I've heard more bad things about them, but that might just be luck of the draw.
Did you say them?
L-A-C-I-E.
I think
easier to spell.
Okay, the first question is, does she want a USB or a FireWire? She's on a G5.
If you're just doing backup, you're not doing like video stuff, then maybe a USB would work just as well as a FireWire. They seem to be more popular, and they're also a bit cheaper.
You're speaking Greek to me.
Are you upgrading to Leopard, or are you going to stay with the operating system you have on your G5?
I'm not upgrading.
Okay, so how are you planning on running your backup process? Just kind of move the files over you care about?
I just like to pack up everything on.
Yeah. Well, then I would go ahead and buy a one-button type external device that supports OS X. So that's what you're going to want to look for is in the packaging of the box, make sure it says OS X compatible and a one-button put backup. And the reason that I say that is that if it says OS X and it has one-button backup, it's going to come with a piece of software which will actually run on your computer. And anytime you want, you can push the button on the drive, and when the software is running, it'll do a backup and it will take care of all your content.
I know Mac stores are called one-touch backup.
Seagate's got them as well.
Seagate's got them. Western Digital has one.
Yeah,
If she has a .Mac account, because if she does, she can use backup.app.
That's true. If you
backup.what?
Apple makes a backup application called backup.app. I'm not sure how long much longer it'll be running. It's free to anybody that has a .Mac account, which is a service that costs, I don't know, $100 a year or something like that from Apple.
That's all right.
I wouldn't really recommend it, actually. Yeah. I would go ahead and buy a drive that has a backup solution with it. So
I'd recommend USB and FireWire just for, you know, portability, so you can put it on a different computer that may not have the same interface. It'll cost you $25 extra for a dual interface. They're basically just two types of connectors that you're going to have.
So you're looking for a USB and or USB FireWire external hard drive with a one-button backup that also says OS X on it somewhere. And then you'll be fine. And we would just recommend Western Digital, Seagate, somebody else?
I'm using one called Buffalo.
Buffalo is a pretty big new backup player. So there you go.
All right. Another thing, Macs are tweeted for their being secure, but what do you recommend that I have some kind of security for viruses?
Virus protection? What do you think, guys?
Yeah. An antivirus software for Mac? No.
It's not a high priority. Do the backup solution first.
More of a firewall is what you're going to want. Mm-hmm. If you're connected to the internet via a DSL or cable router, those typically will have firewalls built into them. Okay. But if you have a modem that you're just directly connecting in, then you probably want to get some sort of firewall software.
I just don't think you're going to need firewall protection on OS X.
I think that's a naive.
FireWire?
You think that's naive?
I think as Macintosh has become more popular, that's going to be a very naive perspective.
Okay. Yeah. I'm naive. There you go. Go ahead and get one.
So firewall, you said?
Yeah. Ryder's going to do some research on firewall software for Mac OS X, because I don't know of any, and he's going to publish it up on geekspeak.org.
Well, it's built. There is one built into Leopard, but as you don't have Leopard, you don't have that.
There's one built into Panther, too. It's just called something else.
Clear, Miles is right. There isn't a lot of security threat at the moment for the Mac OS, but
there's always getting an older Airport Extreme that can dial into a modem, and you still have the advantage of having wireless. That's always a good thing to get. That basically acts as a firewall.
Thank you very much for the call.
All right, thank you.
I hope we didn't confuse you completely. Bye-bye. All right, we got more calls coming in. The network connectivity problems, it's like the cobbler's kids goes without shoes, right? The geeks go without network during the show. I have lost track of who's online. Okay, we've got that line. I think we're waiting for calls. Well, that's a good time for me to say, give us a ring. Ask us anything you'd like. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, that's 476-2800. Toll free at 1-800-655-587. Again, that's 1-800-655-KUSP. Miles? Did you have something to say?
Sorry about that, Lyle. Okay. Didn't mean to interrupt. Had a listener email us about another unit of measurement, because we've talked about femtoseconds, we talked about attoseconds, And Dell says there's also the oh no second.
Oh no.
Yeah, the instant of time, even smaller, in which you realize the disastrous consequences of your actions. Usually applies to the moment when you realize the command you've just given is deleting important data.
Yes. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. That's a horrible sinking feeling, isn't mm-hmm. it?
We all know it.
I remember a few years ago, Daria was on the rocking chair, the nursing chair in our house, and she leaned back and heard this crack sound, and the oh no sit hit, and it was like, oh, that was my laptop screen. And it was. But there's no even in physical world as well. It's that instantaneous moment where you've realized you've made a terrible, terrible mistake. From Live Oak, welcome, Steve, to Geek Speak.
Hi, Lyle. It's Steve. How are you doing?
Quite well, Mr. Brenner.
Okay, Lyle, I have, first of all, a suggestion for the name of this episode.
Go for it.
I would call this one the one where Lyle shamelessly brags about his incredibly creative and talented wife.
It's too long.
Okay.
But it's good.
And as far as your theme song goes, I think it sucks.
Okay.
And I would suggest you look into, as an alternative, the love theme from Godzilla vs. Rodan, which is really moving.
Can you hum it for us?
No. Other than that, just keep it going.
So is this actually just an opinion poll, or are we actually tallying votes on who likes it, who doesn't like
it? I'm tallying votes, and I'm going to put in intense consideration everything everyone said, and then I'm going to pick the theme I want.
Do we get a vote, too?
Yes, you can have a vote just like everybody else.
I really don't care for it in that it's a nice piece of music. However, it would be because of the theme of your show generally, you know, being GeekSpeak and being a technological show where people are calling in with questions that they have about how to operate and how to fix problems on some of the latest commercially available technical stuff. It seems like the theme song ought to be have more of a technical theme, you know, artificial.
So what's this theme you're suggesting called again?
I was just kidding about that.
Oh, I see.
But there is stuff out there, you know.
See, that's so helpful.
I'll tell you what, I will email you, Lyle, with some real suggestions.
Okay, now did you see Daria's show?
I did not.
You can see it tonight and tomorrow.
I know. I'm going to try and get there tonight or tomorrow. I would love to.
Shameless.
Incredibly talented.
Shameless.
Thank you very much, Steve.
But I think you will appreciate my suggestion for the title of the show.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, I
very
do.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Maureen from Santa Cruz, welcome to Geek Speak.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Quite well.
You know, I like that, can you hum it for us? That's very funny. Okay, so I have a photograph, a color photo on my cell phone that someone sent me, and I would like to make a print of it, but I don't know how to do that.
Okay. Do you have a computer?
I do.
I'd get the photo onto the computer and then print from there.
So how do I...
How do you do that? Right.
Forgive me for being totally clueless, but
what
how do I get
the... What cell phone service do you have?
Yeah, what cell phone?
Okay, it's T-Mobile.
Okay.
Okay, that's a good sign.
Is that a good sign?
Yes.
Good, okay.
And what type of phone is it?
It's a Nokia.
Okay. And do you have the ability in the Nokia to send out email, and have you ever done it?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
She's probably going to have some synchronization software that she can access her...
What operating system are you running on your laptop or your computer?
I'm sorry, what...
What operating system? Are you running a Macintosh or Windows?
Oh, it's Mac.
A Mac, okay.
And it has Windows on it.
And okay, yeah. And yeah. What Mac is it?
It's a PowerBook G4.
Okay, that's good. It's got Bluetooth. Do you know if your phone has Bluetooth?
I have to check. See, these are things I've never used on the phone, so I guess I have to look into that.
Can you tell us the model number of that?
Of the Nokia?
Is it on the back of the phone?
It's normally under the battery because they hate you so much. Meaning that you take the panel off where the battery is, and then you pull the battery out, and then it's
right
there.
Yes, they asked me this. I could do. Should I do that now, or
well,
should
what,
I just do
what
that
you
later?
Could do is you okay. could. There's a couple things you can do. You can do that, and then do a Google search on the model of the phone. The other thing you can do is you can step through the settings in the Nokia settings and see if there's anything that mentions Bluetooth. If there is, go ahead and turn it on. That's one of the settings you have to turn on Bluetooth. And then inside the laptop that you've got, you actually have Bluetooth as well. And where you get to that is
system
Bluetooth file exchange.
Yeah, but what's the name of the application?
Bluetooth file exchange is the one that you use to transfer files between For example, I do it all the time.
Okay, so Bluetooth file exchange, and that's under utilities, under applications, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you're going to run this little application, and you're going to say discover devices. And when you say discover devices, if your Bluetooth phone is on, it will actually show up in the list eventually. And then you're going to want to do a thing called pairing. And you select it and say connect to that. And then on your phone, some digits are going to show up. And you're basically going to have to enter some digits on your phone and in the computer at the same pattern. And then they'll connect. And then from inside your phone, you find the image. And one of the options should be send via Bluetooth. Anybody feel like I'm going
over the... On the laptop, actually, it'll probably have like sync. And it'll...
So the way I've done it is in system preferences, you have the Bluetooth system preference, and that's where you do the pairing to the device. So you get the device to show up on your laptop. And then if you go into applications utilities and you go to the Bluetooth file exchange application, I've always found it's a lot easier to navigate on the Mac and navigate the file structure on your phone on your Mac as opposed to trying to push the file from your phone through to your computer. Especially because different phones have different interfaces and different phones have different capabilities as far as that goes.
I think we're going to have to go on.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. I wrote this all down.
All right. And if you'd like to send us an email on what your phone model is, we can help you further.
Thank you so much. I will do that.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you can send us an email anytime you like by going to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. From our last call for today, from Los Gatos, Jeff, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Oh, hi. I've had this 4540 GZ, really means nothing. I don't even know what that is. The model. Anyway, it's from Gateway. I got it 3 years ago. I've been very happy with it. It's been very reliable. I had it overseas in a former Soviet country and, 2 years. And it's recently gone, and I'm in the market for a laptop, it appears. And I always said to myself, if I ever bought a laptop right now, I would maybe go with Apple because, a lot of people are unhappy about Vista and nothing. Well, and B, I said to myself, I wouldn't want to be in the market for a laptop now because it just seems like a really bad time.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if it's such a bad time for being in the market for a laptop. I think it's probably pretty good.
Folks have told me my options are essentially go double the kind of going price right now and get a Macintosh, or go for the going price right now and get something with Vista loaded onto it.
Right.
And that's essentially...
Yeah,
and or I suppose I could try to do something with Linux, but
it's not going to cost you anything different. I think one thing to do is think about buying it used if you want to save some money. But if you're looking to make the switch, let me just say it this way. We're running out of time on GeekSpeak, but out of the four geeks that are in the air room right now, four of us are running Macintosh laptops. So there is that. Now, I, for one, didn't pay for mine. I actually use it through work, so there is a little bit of a difference, but same with Ryder. So only half of it is actually paid. But I think Ben's bought in like 15 Macs. So the consensus in the room is go for it. Have a swap and see how it goes for you. Thank you very much for the call. Go for a Mac, yeah. What the heck?
Yeah.
Okay. And then complain to us when you hate it later. Thank you so much for the call.
Or maybe I'll just default on my loan from you that I used to go up to get it.
Okay, thank you so
much.
All
right, thanks.
All right,
bye-bye. Bye.
GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. The geeks this morning were Miles Elam, Ryder Brooks, and Ben Jaffe. And answering the phones is Rick Philman. Thank you all for participating on GeekSpeak.
Always a pleasure.
You're welcome. That was Rick in the back. GeekSpeak is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 SoCal Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. Thank you for listening to GeekSpeak. To those that called in, thanks for making GeekSpeak what it is. Without you, just be us geeking out, and who wants to listen to that? If you'd like to give us feedback on this week's show anytime, read more about what we were talking about, you're welcome to go to geekspeak.org. You just listened to another episode of GeekSpeak via our podcast. Would you do us a favor? Please go to your favorite podcasting index site, whether it be iTunes, Dig.com, Odeo, or another site, and write a review or give us a vote to let others know what you think about GeekSpeak. Thanks, that'd really help us out. GeekSpeak is supported by PreownedCar.com, PreownedCar.com, where anyone can post their vehicle for sale or browse to purchase a pre-owned car from other car owners. More information available at PreownedCar.com. This is Lyle Troxell for KUSP. Thanks for listening.